Heavenly Father, we just come before you and thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the messages this morning as we partook, Lord, we suffer of your love for us. How grand, how immense, Lord God, is that love. So infinite, Lord God, so amazing. We just, we're so grateful, Lord God, and pray that we would continue to show our gratitude to you because of what you've done, what you've given us. Lord, we just pray now, Lord God, that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would edify us, Lord God, and that your will in our lives, Lord God, with your word, would just come to pass, Lord, that we would give ourselves over to what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So open up to the book of Acts chapter 26. Book of Acts chapter 26. Now, we've been going over the book of Acts in the Monday nights Bible study group. With the study group that we have with men, young men, and old men from all over the country, really. And it's maybe 10 or 12 of us from time to time. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But we've been going through the book of Acts. It's been so incredibly, so enriching. So, in the book of Acts, in chapter 26, Paul has once again been brought somebody through in front of somebody with authority. It started off with the soldier, and then with the chief of the soldiers, the captain of the soldiers. And then with the priest, and then with Felix and Festus, here we are in front of Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. Now, throughout the book of Acts, Paul has a few times mentioned this testimony of what he went through and how the Lord appeared to him in the book of Damascus. But here in chapter 26, the Lord Jesus, when he talks about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, he gives a little more detail on what the Lord Jesus Christ said when he appeared to him. And that's going to be found in verses 13 and 16. And I want to start with this particular statement to tell you that if you are bored in Christianity, there's something wrong. If you've got nothing to do for the kingdom of God, there's something desperately wrong. It's not that Jesus Christ has not saved us for a purpose. It's that you haven't capitalized on that purpose. And can I tell you that it's only when you are busy for the Lord Jesus Christ that you find true fulfillment and purpose. All these questions of why am I here and issues of existentialism and all the rest of it, they just evaporate, they disappear. I quite frankly sometimes think that, I mean, you can't really be too busy for Christ, but man, sometimes it's exhausting, isn't it? You read books of missionaries and you wonder how they function. There's just so much to do, so little time, so little resources sometimes that, you know, there's spiritual burnout. Sometimes you try to do more work than is allotted for you. And you don't allow anybody else to come into the labor because it has to be done a certain way, at a certain method, at a certain time, and only you know how to do it, that type of thing. And you end up owning it. There's nothing wrong owning the ministry. But when you take upon too much upon, when you take too much upon yourself, and you know, you experience spiritual burnout, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for you. It's not good for the Lord, right? Because you don't want to be tired of doing the things of God. And there are times when you take a sabbatical. Some workers for the Lord take a little time off to regroup, reassess their situation, or whatever. It could be a health issue, whatever. You never know what's going on. That's okay, too, with the purpose, with the idea that you got to understand that you are created, you are saved for a particular purpose in Christ. And you need to, even when you're in a sabbatical, there's no such thing as no prayer, right? Praying is service for the Lord. So let's just look at what what Jesus said to Paul is really incredibly interesting and encouraging to me. At midday, O king, he's talking to Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and then which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister or a servant, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which all will appear unto thee, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto him, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith and sinning. Jesus Christ has a plan for your life and for mine. When we look at what Jesus said to Paul, this is not far from what he called each and every one of us to do. It's important to look at these line by line and wonder, think about these things. And the lines are challenging. He said in verse 16, stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. And he explains to Paul why I appeared to you. If you are born again here this morning, Jesus, you had an encounter with Jesus Christ at one point in your life. He made himself known to you. Different avenues. It could be in preaching. It could be through an evangelist. It could be through a tract. It could be through a TV evangelist or something. He communicated the gospel to you. You accepted that message. You accepted that gospel. You accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you got saved. But then you got saved for something. Praise the Lord. As we were saying this morning, when you got saved, that's enough, right? That's enough, right? It'll get you to heaven. But it's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's the here and now. You were saved into something much bigger than yourself. You can literally contribute to the change of trajectory in somebody's life for all eternity if you just use of God. And Jesus gave Paul specific marching orders. But are they very different from ours? He said, this is the purpose. This is why I appeared to you. So that you, I am going to make you a servant. I'm going to make you a servant. You would think that Paul was a servant all the time. Before Christ, there is nothing you can do for God that can amount to anything. Oh, you can be a great person and cross old ladies across the street. Donate your time in the food kitchen or something like that. These are all good things. But that's not the type of servant that Jesus Christ was turning into. It's a different servant. It's a servant to be a living sacrifice, to be a testimony for God. Now, you can do good things before you're saved in the sense of, serving in your community and helping out your fellow man and all the rest of it. But you can't serve God before you're saved. You have to be born again, and you have to be empowered by God's Spirit, and you have to be directed by God's Word to do things for them. You cannot, the Word of God says that without the Spirit of God, you cannot please God. There is no way that you can please God. This is the purpose. He wants you to be a servant, His servant. Many people do many good things apart from being saved because it feels good. Then who are you really serving? If it's to make you feel good. Something to think about, right? You know, people don't think about that. And, you know, they're genuine in the sense that they want to help and all the rest of it. But they look forward to the good feeling. They look forward to casting those crowns of reward at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. I have a different meaning, a different reason, a different purpose as to why I do what I do. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I not only made Him my Savior, but I acknowledge that He is the Lord of my life. And I want to do as my Master wants me to do, not because I have to do it or I get struck by lightning and die, but because of what He did for me. And when you love somebody, you're not doing things because that person might fall out of love for you. I don't do things in my life because hopefully, you know, if I don't continue to do these things, maybe my wife will love me because I'm not doing them. That's not the love that we share. That's not why I do what I do for my wife. I do things for my wife because I love her. I want to. I want to please her. I want to do things to demonstrate to her what she means to me, and she does the same for me. God demonstrated His love toward us, did He not? He did it. How? By sending His Son. You couldn't have any greater love than that. He sent His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So He demonstrated that love, and I want to demonstrate that too, is that I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only to be a servant, but look at what He says, and in verse 16, a witness both of these things which you have seen, the things that you have seen, and of those things in which I will appear to you. I am going to make you a witness. I want you to testify of the things that Jesus not only has done prior to you being saved, but way after you're going to be teaching people. And we benefit greatly out of that, right? Because we're still learning of the things that God did with Paul throughout the New Testament. It doesn't stop for me. I continue to learn. And in verse 17, so now he makes you one of his purposes is to make you a servant, to make you a witness. And when you're a witness, you're not testifying of things you do. You're testifying of what He did through you, right? And so, now you're a servant, you're a witness. And then it says, I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom He sent to thee. So Paul is going to, the Lord Jesus is going to be delivering Paul from the very people He's sending him to. In other words, they're not going to be receiving your witness with grace. That you're not going to get a lot of plaudits, a lot of popularity, a lot of pats in the back. You're not going to get a lot of thank you. You're going to suffer for my name's sake. But Jesus said, I will deliver you. So Jesus has called us to be servants, to be witnesses, and to witness and be recipients of His deliverance. I don't know about you, but I can go on for quite some time in how many things the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered me. Besides my sin, besides hell, right? Besides the fact of the gospel. But He's delivered me from making so many mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes after I can say. But I cannot tell you how many decisions I've made in my life because of what Christ did to me. I considered my Lord before a major decision. Whether it be something as, you know, I guess as secular as buying a home or opening up a bank account, a certain bank, making a certain investment, or getting involved in some kind of board or working in a camp. It could be a secular decision or a spiritual decision, but they all involved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you how many things he's delivered me from, because I said, I'm not going to serve that because that is not going to be conducive, not only to my faith, but I'll contribute too much time and I have to take away time from the Lord in order to do that. So he answers. And to find out that all kinds of things happen, if I would have made that decision, it would take me so many things. But also, the Lord has delivered me from a lot of people that I can get involved with that would be more, I guess, as the Word of God would put it, evil company corrupts good character. You gotta be careful with who you spend so much of your time with. Even friends, workers, bosses, you know, whatever. You gotta be very careful what you invest in, who you invest your time with. Because sometimes that can take you in a different direction. The Lord has delivered me from a great many things. So not only am I a servant, not only am I supposed to be a witness, but I'm supposed to be expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver me, my Lord to deliver me from things. Should I just obey and go where he tells me to go? As he said, arise and stand. Verse 18, the other thing, not only am I a servant, not only am I a witness, not only am I to live life expecting the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to open their eyes, verse 18. I don't know how many of you have ever experienced that. You're working with somebody, or discipling somebody, or just trying to witness to somebody for a long time, and it just seems that you were never going to get anywhere, and then that one day, right above their head, they finally get it, somebody gets saved, and it's like their entire vision, like they've been given a new set of eyeballs. They see things differently. And it's almost like you can see those that just profess salvation and those who truly possess salvation. They see the world in an entirely different way. They see their marriage in an entirely different way. They see parenting in an entirely different way. They see the church and people that believe in what they believe in an entirely different way. So many things begin to change because Jesus opens up their eyes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that he blinds them from those that are in. And all of a sudden now you see. Can you imagine that? Never mind, so they don't know how that feels, but can you imagine how that must feel? Where you lived and lived in darkness because you could never see, and all of a sudden now you can see. I mean, ophthalmic technology today is incredible. I mean, they can do things today where somebody has not been able to see for quite some time. I don't know about total blindness, but very horrible vision, and all of a sudden, you know, a couple of surgeries, a couple of procedures, and you got 20/20. You don't know what that's like until you don't have it. And all of a sudden you're introduced to it, and colors are different, and everything is vibrant, and now you see things for what they are. And so when that God would give you, that God would give me the power to open up the eyes of someone born blind, spiritually speaking, is absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. To me, I think that's why evangelists love to evangelize. Because that one time when that person just opens up their eyes and you see their entire lives changing, and what Jesus does to somebody like that, it's just fun to watch. It's incredible. But that God would use me to open up the eyes of someone blind. And to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Their entire lives completely transformed. When they were children of wrath, now they are children of God. When they're children of darkness, now they're children of light. When they were servants of Satan, now they're servants of God. The power of Satan, the influence that the devil has on the unbelieving, the most powerful influence that the devil has on the unbelieving is that the devil doesn't have any unbelief. They don't really recognize that. They don't see that. They don't have the idea. It's only until I got saved that I look back at my life you know, you think of those things, two things happen. Number one, you're very remorseful for that type of sin, but you are so rejoiced, if that's even a word, that God saved you. You're so glad that you are not like them anymore. It's incredible to me. The power of Satan has a serious grip. He infiltrates the life of the unbelieving. And through many ways, shapes, and demons, and all this thing, he causes us to do things that we don't really realize are catastrophic in the lives of others. Why? Because one of the most important people in an unborn person's life is themselves. It's about me. It's about, you know, I'm number one. I'm the eighth. You know, me first, everybody else second. You don't do things for you, so me. You and I go first. It's always me. You don't really think that way. You don't really see it that way, but that's the way it truly is, spiritually speaking. The power of Satan doesn't only mean people that are, you know, leading children to slavery and things of that nature. Those are evil things. But it's all these other things that we do. First of all, the disobedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's incredibly wicked. That's incredibly evil. And we don't think it is. But it is. The power of Satan is very subtle. He doesn't make his ways look horrible and evil and bad, but they are. A life apart from Christ is being under the power of Satan. God, the purpose of the Lord appearing to you is to make you a servant, to make you a witness, to experience his deliverance, to use you to open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind and to turn them from darkness to light and to, you know, what do they call that? A rescue mission, an extraction. And I see that sometimes on TV, you know, and the extraction team, and they go in there and, you know, they secure the perimeter, they grab the person who's kidnapped or whatever, he takes them out and takes them to safety. That's an extraction. Man, you guys are part of the, you guys are part of the extraction team. You guys are here to pull them out of the power of Satan to the power of God. And he gives you all the resources that you need right in the gospel. And then, if that's not enough, they begin to experience the forgiveness of sins, true forgiveness of sins, where God says, I will remember your sins no more. Right? You ever heard that phrase? That God throws your sins into the sea of forgetfulness and he puts a sign on it saying no fishing allowed. He doesn't ever bring up your sin, not like us, right? We forgive sins, you know, we say we bury the hatchet, but kind of leave the handle outside the ground just in case. Just in case we need to bring that one up again. But that's not the way that God does it. When he forgives you of your sins, it's gone. To experience that type of forgiveness, I know it's hard for me to look back and say, man, God, you forgive me for that? That's what he said. And so I believe him. You know, there's people that have a problem with forgiving themselves. I don't have to have that problem. God never asked me to forgive myself. He forgave me. I don't need to forgive myself. I don't have the power to forgive myself. He forgave me for my sins. And I know that that's all I need. And God can use me. And the inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in me. Look at all these things that God wants to do with you. He appeared to you for a purpose, the Lord Jesus, to make you a servant, to make you a witness, to use you to open the eyes of those that are born blind, to take them out of the power of darkness into light, to be part of an extraction team, to take them out of the power of Satan to the power of God, and then to introduce them to the real forgiveness of sins that can only be given by God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you start talking about that inheritance that we will all receive once we get into the kingdom. Those that are set apart for his purpose. Not only for them to see when people get saved, that the purpose of their life changes. They're set apart for God. Isn't that wonderful? This morning that the Lord Jesus appeared to you for a purpose.
capitalize on it and use it for his glory. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you so much for your love to us. We just pray, Lord God, that you would help us to see that purpose in our lives. Pray, Lord God, that we would never retire from the world. Help us, Lord God, to see the rewards of them. So many of us have worked in the lives of others and we barely see any fruit. But Lord God, we're doing what you've asked us to do, and that alone, the fact that we're pleasing you in what we're doing, that should be enough. But Lord, we would like to see eyes open. We would like to see extraction, people taken out of darkness into your marvelous light, and Lord, to be taken out of the power of Satan into your power. Help us, Lord God, to see how much work there is to do in this world and to be part of something much bigger than us, a purpose that is divine. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.